1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Again, I'm glad you're here with us this morning. Pray that service would be a help, a strength, an encouragement to you. Hold on, I lost my first page of notes. This is not good. Hold on. I just read them over. Found it. I mean, I could have done it, but it just, maybe it would be better. I don't know. 1 Samuel 30, we'll start in verse number 1. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captive and that were therein, they slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Bezer, where those that were left behind stayed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for who you are, how great a God you are. Lord, when I look out and see your hand of creation, I see just how great you are. When I look at what you've done in my life and the lives of those around us and the change that you've made, Lord, how great a God you are. Lord, you've taken a hopeless generation and given us hope. You've taken people that have never understood love, and Lord, showed us unconditional love. Thank you for those things. God, thank you for the beautiful and perfect gift of salvation. And God, I pray that you'd bless the preaching of your word here this morning. God, that you'd be honored and glorified with it. Lord, we need to hear from you. Please, God, bless this time. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we just read that passage, you can imagine the distress. You can imagine the heartache. The descriptions in the passage are heartbreaking. Imagine going out and coming back home and finding your family have been taken captive, your house burned to the ground by your enemies. They were so distraught, in verse 4 it stood out to me that they wept. They didn't just weep, but they wept till they could weep no more. These are grown men. These are men of war. Just the complete distress in verse 6. And David was greatly distressed. Hey, how do you handle those times? Doesn't happen often, but when it does, what do you do? Well, David and his men, they have returned from battle and they found what they thought they would never find. everything gone. You know, it's easy to, in those situations, to look back and go, well, we shouldn't have, or God, why didn't you? And maybe in your life you come up with justification or excuses or bitterment in your own heart. Their homes had been burned. Their sons and daughters have been taken captive, their wives. All their possessions are gone. The family is gone. So what does he say? He says, if you look at it, they were quite upset. They wanted to kill him. A man who just 7 years earlier by Samuel has been anointed king of Israel. Before he even takes the throne, by the next chapter, in chapter 31, he will be king. Even before he takes the throne, they were about to... Hey, that's alone. Verse 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. I don't know. That's difficult. When everything that you're surrounded with is discouraging, distressing. Have you ever been incapacitated by the circumstances around you? Say, what does that mean? That events happened and you just couldn't even function anymore. That's kind of where David's at. Everything that he's told these men, hey, follow me. David's character, they followed and were so encouraged by him and his walk with God and his understanding and his heart and all of those things. And now they're like, we don't want you anymore. David's got to figure things out with him and God. And he says, you know what? This isn't your decision. This is God's decision. And if my life ends right here, so be it. And he says, bring out the ephod. See, what was the ephod? That was a garment that was to be worn by the high priest. The high priest was the one who represented the people before God. And the ephod was that symbol that had the 12 stones in it and a couple other stones that would kind of illuminate when asked certain questions. When the ephod came out, they all knew if there was a problem with one of the tribes, the high priest would ask, hey, where's the problem? And that stone symbolizing that, and they could find that out. They could ask questions like David would ask and say, what should I do? Should I follow? The high priest wore it when they went into the Holy of Holies to intercede with God on the behalf of the people. It was a symbol of their office. The ephod symbolized the authority that God had given to the priesthood. And David says, bring out the ephod. What should we do? Hey, what do you do when you have a question? Well, I'm going to reason this thing through. I'm going to lay it all out. I'm going to bring out one of those little yellow legal notebooks. I'm going to write pros and cons on either side. We're going to get to the end, and whatever has more, whatever makes more sense, that's what I'm going to do. How about you just stop and ask God? God, what do you think about this? I'm distressed. I've lost everything. My men hate me. I have literally no kingdom. Family, every possession is gone. God, what do you want me to do? That's what he's asking. Do you want me to pursue? God said, green light, go. Go get them. Go get them and recover everything. In verse 10, but David pursued. He and the 400 men. Say, I thought there were 600. 200 were so overwhelmed by this, they were of no good even to David. You guys just stay here and cry. I don't know. That's where they're at. For 200 abode behind, which were so faint, they could not go over the brook Bezer. They were so depleted from this situation, so heartbroken. So, have you ever been so heartbroken that physically you can't even respond? These are men that have been trained for war, battle. Now they can't even cross a brook. All right, I'll take you 400, you 200, stay here. What they find, the story is not about Ziklag this morning, or the Amalekites. It was about an unnamed man that we find in verse 11. There they were in the pursuit of battle, going after the Amalekites, and they found an Egyptian in the field. Imagine walking up into a field. Maybe you've done this before or whatever. Maybe, I know, Mr. Buck, you like to walk through the woods there, and you come up, and all of a sudden you spook a deer, right? All of a sudden you didn't realize how close you could get, and they're waiting for you. Are they going to move? Are they not? And all of a sudden a deer is, 10, 15, 20 feet away, and all of a sudden they stand up, scares the daylights out of you, right? And you're both screaming, he's screaming, you're screaming, and all that kind of stuff. Just walking through the field, I didn't expect to find anything. Here they were, just walking through a field, going after the Amalekites, and what did they find? They find a human, a person, a man, a young man. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he didn't eat, and they made him drink water. The title of the message this morning is, I Once Was Lost. Here we find an Egyptian in the middle of a field. He was an Egyptian slave that was now a servant of the Amalekites, an enemy. If this man was a servant to the people that just took our wives, our children, our sons, burned our houses, took all of our stuff, looted us, this man doesn't have prayer. And God said, green light, go get him. This young Egyptian was unable to go on his own. He was left by the way to die. And here comes David. David is often... There are two stories of David. The story of Goliath, a young boy with insurmountable faith and trust in God. And the story of Uriah and Bathsheba, the adulterer and murderer. You look at that and go, God, how could you use, or what on earth is... But there was something special about David. So how do you know? Stories like this. Finding an Egyptian in the middle of the field who was a servant of the Amalekites, whom God just said, go kill and loot and get all your stuff back from. A helpless individual found in a field. I want you to hold your hand here in 1 Samuel chapter number 30. And as we look through this story, I want you to be thinking about the Egyptian today as you. Say, I'm not Egyptian. You were. You were. Ephesians chapter number 2. I love this passage. I go to it regularly. You read it enough times over and over again that it's possible that you could even memorize it. And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past, again, as we read this passage, I want you to think about the Egyptian and I want you to think about you. Here's the king, anointed king, has yet to take the throne, who will be the king of Israel. Walking through a field, and they find an Egyptian, a servant of the enemy. And now we read Ephesians chapter number 2. What we will find are servants of the enemy. You hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, and the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But David, no. But God. But God. But God, as he walked through a field, found you and I. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. As I read Ephesians chapter 2, I read my story. As I read 1 Samuel chapter number 30, I read my story. Say, how so? We're talking about the king of Israel and an Egyptian left for dead by the enemies. And so were you and I. Until God came by and showed his great mercy and love wherewith he loved us. I was once lost also. Verse 11. 1 Samuel chapter number 30 and verse 11. I was once lost, but now, and they found, an Egyptian in the field. I don't know what your story is, but I bet it's similar to you were just living in this world, and then God came by your way and found you just living through. In verse 11, they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of cake of figs, that sounds good, and two clusters of raisins. When he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. That indicates to me that this man had passed out, or some degree was delirious, if nothing else. And he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. Hey, you can go a while with no food, but no water? 3 days left in an open field? You would have fainted too. Sickness had overtaken him. Hey, sickness isn't just for the old. Look at verse 13. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man. He fainted. But life was restored by the king. Life had been restored by David. Hey, so you and I found life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter number 8. Number 1, he was found. Number 2, he had fainted. Romans chapter number 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God has given us life, and not just life, an abundant life, an abundant Christian life, a joyful life. It's a joy to serve the Lord. Amen. And you know what? I don't know how he found you, but in our home, he made a significant difference. I was talking to our Sunday school class a little bit about being raised by my mother and the difference Christ made in our home. how the language changed, how the focus of our life changed. So we found ourselves at church three times a week, different group of people, different group of friends, different influence. If my mom were here today, she would have told you that she had fainted. But then she met the Lord Jesus Christ and he gave her a new life. I once was lost, but now am found. Even though I had fainted, sickness had overtaken this young man. David restored him. As we continue reading, he fed him. In 1 Samuel 30 and verse 12, and he gave him a piece of cake of figs. Again, that sounds good. I like fig Newtons. Anybody like fig Newtons? They're not a cookie. They're a, what are they? What's the thing? Anyways, okay. I like fig Newtons. I feel like they're healthy. But they probably are. I don't understand how something that could be baked could sit on a shelf for a month and a half and still be healthy. But anyways, there's figs in there. It's not double stuffed Oreo or nothing. Okay. See, what are you talking about? I have no idea. But the king fed him. Hey, when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't he feed you? This man is an enemy to the nation of Israel. And yet he took him in like his own. Hey, we sang that song this morning. I'm so glad to be part of the family of God. Maybe you didn't have a family until you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you got the family of God. Got fed. Hey, I'm thankful for the feeding of the Word of God. You know your two parts, your physical and spiritual. The physical, I understand the eating thereof, but the spiritual eating is also very, if not even more important. I was encouraging our Sunday school class to read the scriptures every day. It has guidance and direction for your life. It's nourishment for your spirit and soul. God has a table set before you. I like coming home and seeing, if you walk right out here, you'll smell cooked popcorn. And it's Mrs. Parrott was out there. She's like, I smell popcorn. I'm like, it's one of the most wonderful smells in the entire world. I like coming home, and as you get out of the car and I smell garlic and onions cooking, say, what does that go in? Everything. I like it. And you come in and the table's all set. Come sit down. It's time to eat. Oh, hallelujah. What time it is. That's good beckoning. I feel like the Lord is the same way. Hey, come sit down. It's time to eat. Hey, when you haven't had nourishment for a long time, oh man, that's good. He's not eaten like this before. He's eating the food that David would eat. Hey, if you've never been fed by God himself, you've never tasted anything like that before. The Bible tells us that if you look in Romans chapter number 10, starting in verse 8, the Bible says, "For what saith it, the word is nigh unto thee, is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So why did David spare this man? Because of kindness and love and mercy. I can ask myself the same question, why did God spare me? Out of kindness, love, and mercy. He demonstrated a gift of grace here. He not only saved his life, he fed him. Hey, not only did God not send me to hell, he gave me the gift of salvation, to which I am eternally grateful. If we go back to 1 Samuel chapter number 30, if you're here this morning and Jesus Christ is not your Savior, can I tell you what you are? You're like the Egyptian just laying in the middle of the field. You're missing out. Hey, the king is standing right there. He wants to feed you. He wants you to be part of his army, if you will. This young man, what was he? He was forsaken. Look at verse 13. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And just then, every sword is pulled out of its sheath. Could you imagine those 400 men as this young boy all of a sudden becomes nourished? He doesn't look like the Amalekites. He looks like an Egyptian. And they're talking to him, and he's getting a little bit of strength. And they're like, all right, tell us your story. What's going on with you? And he says, oh, I'm a young Egyptian, and I'm a servant to the Amalekites. Shing! God said we could. Let me explain to you the ways of the world. Servant to the Amalekite, and my master left me. God says that I will never do that to you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The world, the minute you're of no use to them, will push you off to the side and leave you for dead. Say, no, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. Forsaken. Forsaken by those he was serving. I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. Hey, man, you're going to cost me. You're going to be as long as you were serving me, I'm okay, but now that you're going to cost me something, I'm done with you. And so are the ways of the world. As long as you're feeding, the prodigal found that once his money ran out, so did his friends. Forsaken by those he was serving. Forsaken by the world, and listen, forgiven by the future king. The fact that this man is able to say any other words with his head attached to his shoulders is an act of mercy and forgiveness. You just identified yourself with the wrong crowd that day, buddy. But yet, the Lord has forgiven you and I. Think back in your life of what you said against God. Think back about what you did against the Lord. And we read this passage and it makes it look tame. How outspoken you might have been against the things of God. Sin is disobedience to the Lord. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Hold your hand in 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Say, why do you always tell us after I turn? Sorry. Try and get better with that. We're almost done. There are certain topics that just take my heart and just squeeze it, and it comes out my eyes. And the grace and mercy of God is one at the forefront. I'm telling you, it's very difficult for me to talk about this. Say, you're failing. I understand, without getting choked up, because this is exactly what I experienced in God. His grace, his mercy, his love, his kindness, all of that. Everything David is demonstrating to this Egyptian. And then I read in Ephesians, I'm like, this is my life. This has been my life. This is your life. Ephesians chapter number 2. Can't see. Hold on. Use the wipers here. All right. Ephesians 2, 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners. Hey, what were you? You were the Egyptian found in the field of the enemy. Left for dead because you had no benefit. God said, come with me. I'll feed you and take care of you. And now you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Amen. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Well, hallelujah for that. Where did he find me? He found me left for dead, forsaken by the one I have served my life to. And he said, you are no longer a foreigner and a stranger. Come with us. He had been forsaken. It's something how the world will forsake us and we find forgiveness with the Lord. To whom we ourselves forsake and go back to the old ways. Church, those things ought not so to be. Why would I be saved out of the field, left for dead, taken in, nourished and loved and mercifully forgiven, and then say, you know what? I don't want you anymore. I'm going back to the field. That doesn't make sense. You were forsaken in the field, found by the king. Why would you forsake the king? 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Last point. The Egyptian was found. He had fainted. He was fed, even though he was forsaken. And lastly, verse 15. Well, verse 14. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. David said to him, can't Saul bring me down to the company? I sure would love to meet your friends. And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master. And I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because all the great spoil that had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. David smites them. He'd been freed from his previous owner. Free to now serve David the king. A life of sin is nothing but more a bound by a chain. And to be saved is to be freed from that. And God allows us to serve him. I ask this morning, have you chosen to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Say who? The one that found you forsaken. The one who has fed you and has forgiven you. It's a man by the name of John Newton. He grew up with both his mother and father. However, his mother died when his father was away at sea. Newton's father would remarry and the couple had another child. Following in his father's footsteps, Newton made a career by the sea. But it would take him in a different direction. He would search throughout the African coast for slaves to capture. and eventually sell for profit. On one journey, Newton and his crew encountered a storm that swept some of his men overboard and left others with the likelihood of drowning. With both hands fastened on the wheel of the boat, Newton cried out to God, saying, "Lord, have mercy on us." Kind of like the man in the field. The enemy who just said, "We just burned down Ziklag." Just like you and I. Willfully chose sin over the ways of God. After 11 hours of steering, the remainder of the crew found safety with the calming of the storm. From then on, Newton dated March 21st as a day set aside for a time of humiliation, prayer, and praise. Upon arriving home safely, Newton did not venture out anymore to seek slaves. Instead, he began to learn Hebrew and Greek, Mr. Parrott. He occasionally accepted requests to speak about his conversion in front of various congregations. Newton eventually ordained and began to lead his own church. God changed him from a man who was an advocate for the slave trade to a man actively working towards abolishing it. If you know history, he had a major impact on a man by the name of William Wilberforce. John Newton was a man that was despicably, he sold other humans in the slave trade. He wrote a song because he was so moved by God's grace. Looking at his own life and seeing the demonstration of God's grace, he was overwhelmed by God's amazing grace. He was saved by God's amazing grace, and that is the grace that sets people free. Free from the consequence of our sin. Since that day, Newton penned the lyrics, "Amazing Grace." Over the last 350 years, it is one of our most sung and familiar hymns. Speaks of the sweetness found in Christ's grace for his children. As humans, we were lost and blind in sin and need saving, and Jesus' saving grace is amazing. Years later, Newton would begin to lose his memory. He had limited thoughts, couldn't quite put it all together, but he could remember these two things. He would say them regularly, that I am a great sinner, and that Christ is a great Savior. Let's talk about your life. You are lost by this world, left for dead in a field. And here comes the King. He can feed you. He can forgive you. Will you serve him? Say, why would he do that? Because he's gracious. Because he's merciful. And because he forgives. Story of Ziklag. This morning we focused in on the Egyptian. We focused in on our life. In perspective with God. Let's all stand. If you're here this morning and the Lord Jesus Christ is not your Savior, say, "Pastor, I've been thinking about these things. I've been contemplating in my heart. Will you please pray for me as I feel as though I need to make a decision soon?" Is anybody like that here this morning? Please pray for me. I'm considering asking the Lord to save me. Anybody like that? All right. Maybe you're here this morning and you want to Something about how we were forsaken, yet we still forsake the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and your life is, yes, he found me in the field. Yes, he's done wonderful things. Yes, he's forgiven me and he's fed me. And yet, for some reason, I have forsaken him. Maybe this morning, you want to come and talk to the Lord. Say, God, I'm sorry. I'd like to serve you. Maybe you're here this morning and simply, you know, one of God's will, his will for all of us is to be thankful. Stories like this remind me of how much I should be thankful for my salvation. In a moment, the music will play. And maybe you just want to come and thank the Lord for the gift of salvation. I was a wretch. I was lost. Lost indicates having no direction, no purpose, no hope. But now I'm found. I'm so glad the King came by my field one day. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word tucked away in the deep in the Old Testament. Do we find another demonstration of your grace and love and forgiveness toward us? Lord, I ask you to bless this time of invitation now. Someone here today isn't saved, that today would be the day that they call upon you. God, maybe someone has wandered away and has forsaken what has been generously given. Maybe today is the day that they turn back toward you. If nothing else, Lord, help us to be thankful for your amazing grace. Bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?